morning, everybody. Welcome to Morning Drive. We've got story time, and we've got some really fascinating stories for you to listen to this week. We hope you'll sit still and you'll listen very carefully. Now, our theme for this week, as you can see from our board, is Snakes and Ladders. And how many of you have ever played the game of Snakes and Ladders? Quite a few of you. Good, here we've got the board. And it's a really interesting game, isn't it? Look what happens if you land on a snake. You go down the snake, don't you? You slide down the slippery snake. What happens if you land on the ladder?
You go up the ladder.
You go up the ladder. And of course, the whole point of the game is to get to the top, number 100. And to do that, you have to avoid the snakes, and you have to find as many ladders as you can. So I think with Snakes and Ladders, now today we're going to be thinking all about snakes. And you know, the Bible is a book which is full of snake stories. And I just want to read one to you very quickly, and I want you to think about it, because I may ask you one or two questions on it in a moment. Come on, the book of Numbers, chapter 21. The Israelites left Mount Hor in order to go around the territory to beat them. And on the way, the people lost their patience and spoke against God and Moses. They complained, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die in this desert, where there is no food or water? We can't stand any more of this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many Israelites were bitten and died. The people came to Moses and said, "Moses, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Now pray to the Lord to take these snakes away." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord told Moses to make a metal snake and put it on a pole, so that anyone who was bitten could look at it and be healed. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who had been bitten would look at the metal snake and be healed. But hands up, who likes snakes? Well, quite a few of them. I'm really pleased about that, because I brought along my pet snake to show you this morning. Do you like to see him?
Yeah.
Where do you think he is?
In
that basket. Well, I hope he's still in there, because he has a habit of escaping. He might be behind you. You're all right, he's there. He's sleeping in the bottom. He's quite tired this weekend. Right, I'll see if I can wake him up. Usually I'll have some music played, okay? Let's see if we can play something on this. Ooh. Yeah, that's all I can play. I'll take the lid off, couldn't I? Right, maybe if you call out his name. His name's Sid. Okay, up to three. 1, 2, 3. No, he's still asleep in that. I think I'll have to give him a bit of a shake. I expect he's like many of you, in first thing in the morning, your man needs to shake you to get you out of bed.
No?
Well, I think he's waking up. Let's try a few more tunes. This is it. He's wooden, that's it, yes. He's only a pretend one. He's not a real one, really. But I'm quite frightened of snakes, so I wouldn't have brought a real one. Hands up if any of you are frightened of snakes. Oh, quite a lot of you. Why are people so frightened of snakes?
Because they think they're
horrid
creatures that try to bite you.
Right, okay, yes, they can bite. And some of them are poisonous, aren't they? And they have a poison in them called venom. They have teeth, really sharp, like needles, and the poisonous ones can bite you and inject that poison into you, and can make you very ill, and it can even kill you. Now, we've only got one venomous snake in this country. Can anybody tell me what it's called? An adder. That's right, a black adder. Right, the adder. And the adder is very similarly marked to this. He has a diamond pattern on his back, and that's a warning to us, so that we don't go near him, because he won't hurt us if you don't go near him. But if you tread on him, of course, he may bite you, and that could be very serious, and you'll have to go to hospital. And do you know, when I was your age, I came face to face with a big fat adder. I was up on the Sussex Downs with my brother, and it was a nice hot summer's day, and there's a beauty spot there called the Devil's Dyke, and it's a big hollow cut out of a hill, and you can walk down or run down the sides of the valley right to the bottom. It's great fun. And I was running down with my brother, he was just in front of me, and all of a sudden I noticed he suddenly jumped up in the air, and I said, like, well, where is he going? And I suddenly stopped just where he had jumped. And what do you think was there, just in front of my feet? An adder. Big fat one, all curled up there. Of course, he was asleep, he was just enjoying the summer sun, and he wouldn't have hurt me. But I nearly trod on him, I was about an inch away. And I was so frightened, I turned on my heels, went right back up the hill, screaming to my mum and dad, and I've been frightened of snakes ever since. Although, having said that, I went to the zoo a few years ago, and they let me have a big Indian python wrapped around my neck, and I had my photo taken. The pythons are quite nice snakes, because they don't bite you, they haven't got any poison in them. It had been so friendly, he whispered in my ear, I'd like to give you a big squeeze. I know it's his adders, these poisonous snakes, cobras and rattlesnakes that we need to watch out for. I want to tell you a story about some poisonous snakes from the Bible this morning. Now the children of Israel had for many, many years been slaves in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh, the king of the Egyptians, was a very cruel man, and he treated the Israelites badly. He forced them to make bricks for him out of straw and mud. And if they didn't make enough bricks, then he would have men with big whips over them to give them a good whipping and hurt the Israelites. And so the children of Israel cried to God to help them and to deliver them from this slavery. And you know, God heard their prayer, and he sent them a leader. What was the leader's name?
Moses.
That's right, and with God's help, Moses was able to deliver the Israelites from Pharaoh and from his slavery. But you know, Pharaoh wasn't happy that the children of Israel had gone and left him. He wanted his slaves back. And so he immediately got together his army, his chariots, and they began to chase after the Israelites. And very soon the children of Israel were completely trapped, because they arrived at the Red Sea. And there was no way that they could cross that on a bridge. There were no bridges then. And they couldn't turn to the left or to the right, because there were huge mountains on either side. And they couldn't turn back, because the Israelites, the Egyptians, were chasing behind them. So how did they escape? How did Moses cross the Red Sea? That's right. The Bible tells us that God blew, and he created a strong east wind that blew all night, and it blew open a passageway right through the middle of the Red Sea. The waters stood upright like two great walls on either side, and the Israelites were able to cross on dry land through the middle. And each one crossed over, and as they crossed over, suddenly the Egyptians arrived, and they thought that they would cross through the same way. And as they entered the dry bed of the Red Sea, suddenly God stopped the wind blowing. And of course the waters came crashing down upon them, and they were drowned, their enemies, in the depths. So God had wonderfully answered their prayer, and rescued them from slavery, and brought them across the Red Sea. But you know, as soon as they got across the Red Sea, they found themselves in a large, barren desert. Sand everywhere, it was really hot and dry. And what did the Israelites begin to do?
Complain.
They began to grumble and complain. Why were they unhappy? Why were they complaining? That's right, there wasn't enough, was there? There was very little water, there was very little water in the desert. And of course there's very little food to gather in the desert. It's really hard to survive in desert lands. Now God had wonderfully provided the Israelites with a special food from heaven. It was a bread. And it arrived on the ground every morning, and they had to go out and gather it. Can anybody tell me what it was called, that bread?
Manna.
Manna, very good, yes. But you see, soon the Israelites got fed up with this manna, because they were eating it for breakfast, they were eating it for dinner and for tea. Every day, of every week, of every month, all they had in their cupboards was manna. and there was very little to drink, and they were thirsty, and they were hungry, and they were fed up, and they began to complain. He said, why has Moses brought us into this desert? To kill us. We were much better off when we were back in Egypt. At least we had some decent food to eat. And so they grumbled and complained. I wonder if any of you boys and girls are ever like that. When your mum prepares a meal for you and she puts it in front of you on the table and you say, I'm not eating that. There's a sprout on my plate. Soggy cabbage, I don't like that. And you fold your arms and say, I'm not eating it. And you grumble and complain. Have you ever like that? Because it's very ungrateful, isn't it? Jeez. It's very ungrateful. Because you know there are many boys and girls in many parts of the world who have very little to eat. Some have starved to death and they would love a sprout or a bit of cabbage. And they would willingly eat it. And there you are grumbling and complaining about the good food that your mums and dads put in front of you. And do you know the children of Israel were just like that? They were ungrateful. God had been so good to them. God had delivered them from slavery. God had saved them from their enemies. God had performed a miracle. God had given them bread every morning. And yet still they grumbled and complained. And because they complained, God decided to punish them. And what did God do to punish the Israelites?
He let
a
snake out and he started
biting people. That's right, suddenly hundreds of poisonous snakes appeared in the camp of Israel. And people were leaping about to avoid them. And you know, when the people were bitten, suddenly their legs began to swell up. And suddenly they fell into a fever and they were really hot. And they began to drop down on the floor dead. And you know, the people that survived were so frightened and so upset that they cried to Moses and they said, Moses, please pray to the Lord for us. We've sinned. We've done wrong. Pray that God will forgive us and take these poisonous snakes away. And so that's what Moses did. He got down on his hands and knees and he began to pray to the Lord. Do you think the Lord heard his prayer? Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, the Lord didn't answer his prayer in exactly the way that the people wanted. God didn't instantly take away the snakes. In fact, God told Moses to do something very strange. What was it?
That's
right, God told him to make a metal snake. Now, that was the last thing that the Israelites wanted to see. They were fed up with snakes. They wanted the snakes removed. And yet here was God telling Moses to make a snake out of metal. Well, Moses obeyed. And he got to do his craft that day. He got out his hammer and his saw and chisel and he began to work with the metal as quickly as he could, and he made a metal snake and he put it on a pole as God had said, but one I made earlier. There we are. Brass snake on a pole. And then God taught him to set it up right in the midst of the camp of Israel so that everybody could see it. There. Moses set it up. And then God gave a wonderful promise to all the people. God said that anyone who had been bitten by a snake, if he just looked up at a metal snake, he would be instantly healed. And swelling would go down, and the fever would leave them, and the person would not die, they would live. It was wonderful, wasn't it? And do you know what happened exactly as God said? The Israelites who had been bitten, they obeyed God's word. They looked up at the metal snake and suddenly they looked and they lived. But those Israelites who didn't look thought to themselves, how silly. How is a metal snake on a pole going to help me? Well, they just died. They perished. God's promise was, look and you will live. Now that's a wonderful story, isn't it? But it is a very important story because it, in fact, it is true of you and it's true of me. Because the Bible tells us that just like those Israelites, we too have sinned against God. Who can tell me what sin is? That's right, it's the opposite of good things. So what is it?
Love.
No?
It's bad things.
Bad things, that's right. Sins are bad things. Can you name me some bad things? Things we shouldn't do. Smack people in the face, that's right, yes. Don't lie. Don't lie, yes, that's a good one. What other things shouldn't we do?
Don't
That's right, disobedience. Five. Five people, that's right. Don't stick your tongue out, be rude, that's right.
Don't push people.
Don't push people. That's right, all those things are bad, aren't they? They're wrong, and they are sins. And do you know the Bible tells us that we have all done those things which are wrong. We've done things that we should never have done. And we feel guilty, don't we? And we feel bad inside when we've done them. We know that we've done wrong. And God calls it sin. And the Bible tells us that every one of us have sinned. There's a verse in the Bible which says, for all have sinned. That includes every one of us. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we're all guilty sinners in the presence of God. We're all like those Israelites long ago. We have been bitten, and the poison of sin is in the hearts of every one of us. And you know, the poison of sin always leads to death. Just as those Israelites began to die, we'll be bitten by the snakes because of their grumbling. So we die because the poison of sin is in the hearts of every one of us. Sin always leads to death. And you know, if we die without our sins forgiven, then we will be shut out of heaven, God's house, and we will be sent to that place the Bible calls hell, a place of never-ending punishment. But you know, the wonderful good news this morning is that just as God in his great love provided a way of healing and deliverance for the Israelites who had been bitten by snakes, so God in his love for us has provided a way of healing and forgiveness for us who have been poisoned by sin. And that remedy is not in a metal snake like this, but God's remedy for sin is a living person, his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible tells us in John 3:16, that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. God loved you and me so much that he didn't want us to die and perish in our sins. And so he sent us a saviour, a deliverer, his only son, the Lord Jesus. And who can tell me, how did God give us his son?
He went on the cross and...
Yes, that's right. God sent Jesus to die upon the cross. And that's what we've just been celebrating, haven't we, this last Easter. And what happened on Good Friday? Jesus died, didn't he, upon that cross. Jesus, just like that snake, was lifted up on a wooden pole and set up in the camp of the Israelites. Jesus was lifted high for all to see him, and he suffered there and bled and died. But why did Jesus have to die? Yes. That's right, to forgive our sins. Jesus hadn't done anything wrong, but Jesus was being punished upon that cross for our sins, for all the wrong things that we have done. Jesus, who had no sin, took upon himself our sin. You know, the Bible tells us Jesus took upon him all our hating, took upon him all our fighting, and our cheating, and our swearing, and our stealing, and our grumbling, and all our lying, all our sins were laid upon Jesus, and Jesus, who had no sin, was punished for our sins, so that we might be forgiven, and that we might go at last to heaven. That's wonderful, isn't it? And so the cross is God's remedy for our sins. Now, in the Old Testament, that snake that Moses lifted up on a pole, so that everybody could see, didn't automatically heal everybody, did it? The mere setting up of that snake upon a pole didn't actually cure anyone. What did the Israelites have to do in order to be healed and forgiven? They had to look, didn't they? That's right. It was no good from thinking, that's not going to help me, I'm not going to look at that. I'm going to go to the doctor. No. God's promise of healing was only to those who looked to the metal snake, those who obeyed his words. God says, look and you will live. And those who looked, lived. And you know, it's the same for you and I. Because even though Jesus died upon that cross as God's remedy for our sins 2,000 years ago, that doesn't mean that we're all automatically forgiven and that we're all going to go to heaven at the end. There is something that we have to do to be forgiven. What is it?
Be sorry for our sins.
Be sorry for our sins, yes. Anything else?
Pray.
Pray, yes, that's right. Anything else?
Obey God. Obey the
Lord, O God. Obey God, that's right. And what did the Israelites have to do? They had to look, didn't they? And it's the same for you and I. God tells us that we have to look to Jesus for our forgiveness, for our salvation. We have to look to Jesus who died upon that cross. We have to put our trust in Him and believe on Him to save us from our sins. Do you know in John chapter 3 and verse 14, Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. You see, just as Moses lifted up the snake, and that was God's provision for healing there, so the Son of Man, Jesus, had to be lifted up on the cross. And God's promise is that whoever believes in Him and looks to Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. You know, there's a wonderful chorus that we sometimes sing which says, there is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for you. And God's promise to you and me this morning is that if we look to the Lord Jesus in faith, and if we put our trust in Him to be our Saviour and our Deliverer, then He will forgive our sins. He will take them all away. He will give us a new heart, a new life. He will give us eternal life and the wonderful promise of a home forever in heaven. God's command to you and me is look. Look to Jesus and you will live. Let's pray, shall we? Dear Lord, we do thank You that though we have sinned like those Israelites, we thank You that You are a loving and forgiving God. And we thank You that You have made a way that we can be forgiven in the cross of our Lord Jesus. We thank You for Him who was lifted up to die so that our sins might be forgiven. We pray that each one of us may not try to overcome our sins ourselves or try to do good works and try to get our own way to heaven, but we pray that we may look, Lord, to the Saviour who died for us and rose again. And we pray that as we trust in Jesus, so our sins may be forgiven, and that we may have that promise of eternal life in heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.